It's time! Hey, Dave, listen up, please!
Scotty, that's a great question. I got a question for you, though, Scotty. You know that there's other players on our team besides Desi.
But what are you waiting for?
I don't know. Something amazing.
Jones for three. And he banks it in.
Bailey. Up and in and a chance for three.
Welcome into the basketball podcast of Mid-America. Seth Campbell joined by Scotty Bordelon. We are going to break down last night's game as the Razorbacks, they beat Southern University 79-44. And then we've got an in-state matchup for the Arkansas basketball team. They're going to play the University of Central Arkansas, the UCA Bears. The first time that the Razorbacks have gone out of system and played a team in a while, Scotty. They played Arkansas State in an NIT game a while back, but you know, Arkansas made a commitment in multiple sports to play teams in system, which would mean UAPB and UALR. And baseball has done that. Softball has done that. We've seen that happen. Women's basketball, but it's been the first time that the men will step out in a real game. They played UALR in an exhibition last year, but first time they'll step out, play UCA. But first, let's start with Southern. 79-44 win. First of all, it's just great that the Razorbacks got to get out on the floor. They were originally scheduled to travel to Tulsa, but no offense to Southern, they are in the SWAC and they're a better team than Arkansas played in Mississippi Valley State, which is also in the SWAC. But still, it's not the same playing Southern at home versus going to Tulsa and playing them.
No, it's definitely not. I was really looking forward to seeing Arkansas kind of getting tested for the first time this season at Tulsa. But, you know, some things that Arkansas has no control over, you know, took place. And, you know, Arkansas did its best in basically no time, like 2 days, put together a game. And playing a game is better than not. And for a lot of those players, playing Southern is a lot better than another day of practice. And so I know they were really excited about that. Moses Moody kind of mentioned it earlier in the week that, you know, once the season starts, guys kind of get into a routine where you got a couple of days of practice, then a game, And he didn't want that routine to be, you know, kind of thrown off. So he was pretty pumped about playing. And I was looking at some of the numbers on KenPom, and Arkansas's defensive efficiency rating was under 60. Against Southern, which I think is, I think it was 59.9, which is the second best mark Arkansas's had under Eric Musselman. So, I mean, it maybe wasn't the most exciting or aesthetically pleasing game, but Arkansas was nails on the defensive end. And, you know, they got double figure scoring games from six different guys, including Devo Davis, who, you know, he was the star of the second half. It was fun to see him out there working a little bit.
It's always nice to have different guys step up. And we knew coming into this season that Arkansas had those weapons. Arkansas had guys that could step up on any given night. And for the first few games, it's been the usual suspects, the guys that you'd think. Connor Vanover, who has been steady Eddie, and we'll talk a little bit more about him later. Scotty's got some, well, just mind-boggling stats about Connor.
It really is. It's mind-blowing. You're right.
But – you know, then we also had the other Moses Moody has stepped up. Justin Smith at times has been an elite scorer. JD Note, Jalen Tate is doing what he's doing. By the way, a nasty one-handed slam going back to that game against Southern. And then also Justin Smith saying, look out below in the first half.
Watch ahead.
Dang, he put his knee into some dude's face. That's impressive. But, you know, you have all of these guys, but then you also have the freshman that you were expecting to step up, and you know, Moses Moody has been doing that, but then also to see the guys step up in the second half. And so I think that it's good for Arkansas. Would you like to see them get tested? Yes. Would you like them to play more competition because so that you will know what's going to happen when you're at the end of December and you're playing Auburn? Yeah, for sure. I think Muss would love for that to happen as well, but playing a game is better than not playing a game in every aspect of the way. So you take what you can from this and you move on. and get ready. There's only three games left before conference play.
Yeah, that's kind of insane. And, you know, just going back to Southern, you know, that was a game I think the coaching staff and the players knew that Arkansas was going to be able to handle its business and be able to, you know, empty the bench out, which they did. Like, even Bryson Moorhead got into the game, and Brandon Kimball, I think, checked in with like 4 or 5 minutes left. So Arkansas was like, they were, I mean, even in the second half, I mean, we saw Eric Musselman really tinkering with some lineups. Like, at one point, Arkansas's four freshmen were out there with Vance Jackson. Like, that's a pretty small group. But, you know, you never know how things are going to go in SEC play. You might actually have to play that group at some point, you know, if you get into foul trouble, or maybe a guy's missing the game because he tested positive for COVID, or he's been hit with the contact tracing. So you just never know. Although Jalen Williams was pretty solid too. He played 13 minutes. He missed all three of his shots. We grabbed a couple rebounds and blocked two shots. I think he's I don't think he's at the point where he's going to get just a ton of minutes. Like, as of right now, where his game is, I don't know that he would get a ton of minutes in SEC play. But that's what these games are for. And, like, he's building confidence. Teammates are, you know, trusting him a little bit more, and he's protecting the rim pretty well. But Devo was, man, he was so good. He's just – Eric Musselman talked a lot in the preseason just about how he's got this innate ability to track down loose balls, and his length has a lot to do with that, and his motor too. Like, he's instant energy. And it was good to see him, you know, hit a few shots. He was 3 of 3 from the line, and he was 4 of 7 from the floor, missed a couple of shots inside. But I liked his shot selection. Like, I don't think he took really a bad shot. And, you know, maybe if the game wasn't so out of hand, he had one play, remember, where he cut baseline, caught a pass, and got a defender in the air with a shot fake, and then threw up a shot that probably would have drawn a whistle, you know, if the game had been a little bit more competitive. But that's, again, out of his hands. But he was really good. He's going to continue to improve. And, it finished with 7 rebounds, too. He only played 16 minutes, which is awesome. Anytime a guard can go out there and grab rebounds in bulk, that's a huge plus.
Yeah, and going through and looking at some of the stats, Scotty, you look and, you know, Arkansas only shooting 8 of 17 from the free throw line. You'd like to see that improve, but there's not a whole lot that you can be upset about. They out-rebounded Southern, which they're going to do, especially with a guy like Connor Vanover. Second chance points, they scored 21 of those. Points in the paint, 32. Fast break points, 16. And then I think a big one as well is they had 16 assists. Musselman has pointed out that he wants to have over 200 passes in the game. In something that they did in their previous game before they played Southern. So I think that that's something that they can hang their hat on and say, all right, this is something that we did good against Southern, and continue to develop that, and especially against teams that maybe aren't of the highest competition. But good stuff all around. And as you mentioned, Desi Sills, I know that we all know, Scotty, that you love him, but he is truly – being a leader out there on the court, it seems like to me, doing all the dirty stuff. And he's not going to lead the team in scoring every single night, but he is a weapon that the Razorbacks can use for sure.
Yeah, he finished with, I think he was one assist shy of tying a career high in assists. And Wednesday against Southern, it was just the second game of his career where he's had more than 3 assists in a game without a turnover. So Eric Musselman said he really liked the way he has really liked the way that Desi has kind of transitioned into being a guy who, you know, is known more as just a guy who can really attack the rim aggressively and score in transition and also hit the three. But he's, you know, he's sharing the ball. Like, those 5 assists were pretty impressive. Like, they led to 12 points. And I think he found 3 different guys for those 5 scores that led to those points. And he's doing a good job of, I think, you know, kind of transitioning into being, you know, more of a combo type guard where he's got some point guard responsibilities, but he's still, you know, he's still locked in, you know, shooting the ball from the perimeter when he needs to.
All right, Scotty, we teased it earlier. Connor Vanover has just been a fantastic addition to this Arkansas Razorback basketball team. almost to the point of you're almost now starting to take him for granted in the fact of that, yeah, whenever a guy drives down low, you're going to have the 7'3" guy there to contest a shot. And he's going to alter shots that he doesn't even get a hand on because guys are thinking about him. There are stats now. Scotty has pulled up, and there's a body of work now through five games that you can kind of pick out and understand. Through five games, when Connor Vanover is on the floor, the Arkansas Razorbacks are much, much better.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And what that screenshot that I sent you earlier is just the last two games, which is – it's still really good. Like, Connor's been on the floor for 95 defensive possessions, and Lipscomb and Southern have scored collectively 0.45 points per possession, which is – that's outrageous. Like, Eric Musselman tweeted the other day that he feels good about his team's, you know, offensive play when they score 1.1 points per possession in a game. And, you know, when Connor's on the floor – I mean, the Arkansas's defensive numbers are just outrageous. And the last two games, Lipscomb and Southern, 25.5% on two-point shots, and they're shooting 10% from three, which is it's crazy. I sent you the – I think – let me go back and find this real fast. Yeah, Arkansas is just – they're so good with Connor on the floor. And I think Arkansas's outscoring those two has outscored those two teams like 112-43 in the last two games when Connor's in the lineup, and he's been so dominant. And the thing that's most impressive to me is that he's been whistled for four fouls this year, and so he's averaging 4.5 blocks for every foul that he's whistled for.
Like, not four fouls in a game, four fouls the entire season.
Yeah, he's averaging, according to KenPom, he's averaging, I think, 1.8 fouls per 40 minutes played. And it's outrageous. And then I was looking some more at those numbers. He's blocking almost 18% of opponents' two-point shots when he's on the floor. So he's been incredibly dominant. But I've been really impressed with his defensive discipline. And I understand, you know, he's 7'3", and he can block shots more often than not without, you know, without making much contact. But still, like, he's getting – he hasn't been – I don't think he's been whistled for a foul in Arkansas's – yeah, he's been whistled for one foul in Arkansas's last two games, and he hasn't been whistled for a foul in two of Arkansas's five games. So his – really like his defensive discipline, and just – not just blocking shots, but altering them too and making guys think twice about putting a shot up.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I wasn't on the interview with Musselman do it because I was doing women's basketball, but Musselman said in the post game that he wished he would have played Connor more. He played 20 minutes yesterday. Is that correct?
Yeah, just 20 minutes.
I think that Musselman, while he would want to play Connor more than 20 minutes, and I think that Connor can play more than 20 minutes, I think that that 20 to 25 minutes is right in the sweet spot of Connor to where he can be the most effective when he is out there on the court. Not saying that there won't be games when Connor will be needed for 30, 35 minutes in the game. But I think that Musselman knows, and we, you know, obviously he's studied it, done the research behind it because he's the coach getting paid millions of dollars, but he knows how to best use Connor Vanover in the situation that he's been given. Because in those games where he does play 35 minutes, it's probably going to be against a team like UNT, to where it would North Texas, to where he can stay on the court because they don't want to push the pressure. I think that if you keep Connor out there for 35 minutes against a team that wants to run up and down the court, then you will start to see his effectiveness start to fall. I think it's almost on a bell curve, and you want to see how many minutes you can play Connor Vanover without him starting to decrease on that bell curve. Now, I'm not saying that he can't handle it, but also when you're 7'3", running up and down the court isn't your favorite thing in the world. It just can't be. So Musselman, while he was upset that Connor Vanover didn't play more, I think that 20 to 25 minutes is the perfect amount to where you can get the absolute most out of Connor Vanover. He can be the absolute most effective for your team and will give Arkansas the best chance to win.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. And I think him not playing more than 20 minutes against Southern was kind of twofold. It's, you know, the game was so out of reach that, you know, why push it? I mean, you don't want something freaky to happen when there's literally no reason for Connor to be on the floor. And one of the reasons that he was able to sit when the game, because the game was out of reach, is because he's part of that starting group that's been so good right out of the gates. Like Arkansas in his 20 minutes outscored Southern by 30 points, which allowed him to sit, which is crazy just because he was partially, he was so good. Like he grabbed 9 rebounds and blocked 3 shots and had 3 steals in his 20 minutes. Like he could not have played better. And then something else that I liked was, you know, against Lipscomb, he came out and hit 2 threes, just bang, bang, just right out of the gate. And then he missed his next 6. And against Southern, he missed his first 2. So he missed 8 straight threes. But I think he ended his night with a 3 from the top of the key too. So, I mean, you got basically everything that you could have out of Connor. You know, if, there's no telling what his numbers would have looked like if he would have played, you know, maybe even 5 more minutes. Like if he would have played 30, then, you know, you could have seen another 15 rebound, 5 block, you know, 5 steal game. Like he's been that effective defensively.
I'm going to put you on the spot here, Scotty, and give you some time to maybe research this. Is Arkansas shooting more threes this year than they were last year? And as I put you on the spot and let you look that up real quick, it just seems like to me Arkansas is more dependent on the three, but they also have more shooters. You're not throwing out Adriel Bailey and Jimmy Witt, who both aren't going to shoot threes. I mean, Jimmy Witt literally was allergic to it, like Mike Leach is allergic to the run. But now, when you put Connor Vanover out there on the court in a starting 5 with, you know, him, Smith, Sills, Moody, and Tate, all 5 of those guys can shoot. So I think that, at least to me, they shot 33% last night, 11 of 33, I believe. Yep. But I think it's not a bad thing, but it seems like to me that they are shooting more. Is that factually correct?
Yeah, according to what I'm looking at on KenPom, last year, you know, almost 40% of Arkansas's field goal attempts were threes, which ranked outside the top 100 according to KenPom. And then this year, they're, you know, about 45% of their shots have come from 3-point range.
Like I said, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It's where the game has gone. If you've watched an NBA game,
you don't have the quality of shooters, you know, as like an Isaiah Joe or a Mason Jones. But I mean, those two dudes were just, they were special from three. I mean, you got some guys on this roster that can really fill it up from the perimeter, but yeah, I think you just have more solid shooters, maybe more so than just a couple of really, really special ones. But Moses Moody's definitely, he's got the potential to definitely jump up into that star class as a perimeter threat.
He's heating up, and then you also have Desi that is not having a early season slump like he has really his past 2 years with the Hogs. He went 3 of 5 in yesterday's game. So I think all of those things factor into Arkansas is going to shoot more three-pointers this year overall. And as I said multiple times already, I don't think that's a bad thing. 3 is worth more than 2 if my math holds up, which I think it does.
Yeah, as long as their quality looks, I don't think Eric Musselman's going to have a real problem with it. What makes him slap the top of the scores table in frustration is like those quick threes in transition, maybe when you got numbers, you know, maybe in the first 5 to 7 seconds of the shot clock that JD Notae's been a little bit prone to take. I think his efficiency is something that we need to watch this year. He played 15 minutes against Southern and took 11 shots. Like, I don't know. Like he's more of a shoot first scoring type guard. But yeah, I think his number one, his efficiency might need to make an improvement. And that's just going to come with better decision-making and shot selections. Right now, when he's on the floor, he's taking 30% of Arkansas shots. And when he's on the floor, 29% of Arkansas's possessions are ending in a made shot from him, a missed shot, or a turnover from him. So that's something I have no doubt that Eric Musselman is in JD Notae's ear about. You know, just got to be a little bit more efficient and a little bit more selective with his shots. But at the same time, you want to keep him aggressive because you see the types of plays last night where he kind of made that kind of the circus layup. I mean, those are plays that I feel like not many other guys on the roster can make, but JD Notae's he's special when it comes to that.
Yeah, his ability after he shoots a few times from the outside to get people to over penetrate, over guard him, and then him be able to blow by them and make layups And he's done that a few times this year.
His shot fake is lethal. And once he puts the ball on the floor, his footwork is pro level. It's just with him, it's just decision-making, shot selection. I think that's, you know, we see an improvement in that. Maybe his efficiency can, you know, see an uptick, and, you know, Musk might trust him to play just a little bit more.
All right, Scotty, let's look ahead. Rest of Arkansas schedule, we mentioned it earlier, only four games left in the non-conference. They will play Saturday against UCA, and then they're going to be off a week because of finals. And then they're going to play Oral Roberts on Sunday, December 20th, a little Sunday action game for you. And then come back and play Abilene Christian. Oh, pardon me, I said four. There's only three games left. So three games left before you go to Auburn on Wednesday, December 30th. So you also have kind of interesting the way the schedule breaks down. You have two out of – in these next three games, you're going to have a week between two of them. So it'll be interesting to see how the Hogs – respond during this time. But also, like, no offense to Abilene Christian, Oral Roberts, or even Central Arkansas, like, you have three games to gear up, but you better play and be playing your best ball as you get to these three games before you have to travel to Auburn.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And UCA, I was just looking at some of their numbers. They play a tempo faster than any team that Arkansas has seen this year. Like, they're top five in the country in terms of adjusted tempo, according to KenPom. They're averaging like almost 77 possessions a game. So they're going to want to push the pace, but they're really turnover prone. Like, over 30% of their possessions have resulted in a turnover this season in their first three games. And, you know, Arkansas, I think, is probably going to have to, you know, I don't think Arkansas can overlook Oral Roberts right now. Like, Oral Roberts has a kid, sophomore guard named Max Admus. He is lighting it up recently. Like, he's shooting almost 50% from threes, hit 15 threes. He just put 36, six rebounds, nine assists on Oklahoma State. And then against Wichita State, he had 28 points, six rebounds, eight assists. Like, he's going to be a problem. And then they opened the season against Missouri. He went for 18 points, five assists. So Arkansas is going to have to be really locked in for that game. Like, it's not like they can't overlook Oral Roberts. And they're, you know, Arkansas's been really good defensively to this point, but they're going to really have to hone in on him and really try to limit him. And that's something that Arkansas has done pretty well to this point in the season, is just, you know, limiting opponents. I don't know, maybe not their leading score all the time, but, you know, that second and third option, just kind of tying an arm behind their back on the offensive end. But yeah, I mean, I think you want to see Arkansas just be a little bit cleaner in terms of, like, turnovers and you know, executing your sets in the half court. You know, Eric Musselman's given this team a little bit more freedom over the last couple of games to just kind of make things happen on their own. But maybe in these next three games, you kind of see Arkansas, you know, put a little bit more emphasis on trying to execute in half court, because that's a lot of times in the SEC, that's what it comes down to. Like, can you get multiple scores on multiple possessions, consecutive possessions, in SEC play when a game, you know, turns into a half court type game?
We'll definitely have to see how it shakes out for the Razorbacks. Razorbacks, five games have played. They're 5-0. That is the most games played in the SEC, tied for the most with Mississippi State. Mississippi State is 3-2. Rest of the league really played four games. South Carolina off to their traditional slow start, 1-2. Kentucky 1-3. There is still one team that has not played a game this year. Can you name it off the top of your head?
It's Ole Miss.
Yeah, Ole Miss has not played a game yet, and we are Arkansas is three games away from conference play. So you do have to feel fortunate the fact that Arkansas has gotten five games in, whether or not they've been against the competition that you'd like them to. You know, they aren't Kentucky going out and playing Kansas and whoever else Kentucky's played this year. They've played somebody else. But still, you've gotten five games in. Kind of the usual suspects at the top of the conference as we kind of round it out. Arkansas, Missouri, Florida, and A&M sitting up there. Tennessee's there as well. It's going to be an interesting SEC season. I think with the lack of games being played before and COVID, I think that there's going to be some parity to where you might have a team with four SEC losses can win the conference, just because that's how it might shake out. And, you know, Kentucky's obviously going to get better. They do every year. from.
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about them, to be honest with you, right now. Like, they've lost three straight, and they just got blown out at Georgia Tech the other night. Like, weren't even in the game. You got blown out by 17 on the road. I mean, that's just not at all what I was expecting out of this team. I figured they might, you know, figure some things out after they lost to Richmond, but your next game is Kansas. They did play a lot better against Kansas than they did against Richmond, but, I mean, that game at Georgia Tech was a huge letdown.
For whatever reason, I never get my hopes up that Kentucky is going to be bad or struggle, because 90% of the time they pull it out. I think under Coach Cal, they did have 1 year where they went to the NIT.
That team is just really turnover prone. They don't have a lot of perimeter threats, and defensively they just don't turn teams over. And they just got – I mean, they got youth every year. But I don't know, maybe it's taken this bunch a little bit longer to, you know, maybe adapt to the college game than most of Cal's teams do.
We'll definitely have to see. Well, the Razorbacks, as we said, play Saturday against UCA. Tip time for that game is at 7 p.m. So sit down at 11, watch the Arkansas football team, and then take you a little break before you come back and watch the Arkansas basketball team. All right. Well, Scotty, really appreciate you joining us here today.
Absolutely, dude. Thanks.
Well, for Scotty Bordelon, I am Seth Campbell saying so long. If you like the podcast, make sure to subscribe, share it with your friends, and then also just stay tuned on this same podcasting network, because coming up tomorrow, the Whole Hog podcast will drop. Get you ready for Arkansas versus Alabama. We talk a little bit on that podcast as well about, you know, where Arkansas might end up in a bowl, because it's looking more and more likely that Arkansas will indeed get to play some postseason football. So that'll be interesting and exciting for the Razorbacks in year one under Sam Pittman. So make sure to subscribe. Stay tuned for that. Well, for Scotty Bordelon, I am Seth Campbell saying thank you for joining us, and we will see you back here next week.